Core Ideology, The Extra Dimension of Enduring Greatness. During our interview with Bill Hewlett, we asked him what he was most proud of in his long career. As I look back on my life's work, he said, I'm probably most proud of having helped create a company that, by virtue of its values, practices, and success, has had a tremendous impact on the way companies are managed around the world. The HP Way, as it became known, reflected a deeply held set of core values that distinguished the company more than any of its products. These values included technical contribution, respect for the individual, responsibility to the communities in which the company operates, and a deeply held belief that profit is not the fundamental goal of a company. These principles, while fairly standard today, were radical and progressive in the 1950s. David Packard said of businessmen from those days, "While they were reasonably polite in their disagreement, it was quite evident that they firmly believed that I was not one of them, and obviously not qualified to manage an important enterprise." Hewlett and Packard exemplify a key extra dimension that helped elevate their company to the elite status of an enduring great company, a vital dimension for making the transition from good to great to built to last. That extra dimension is a guiding philosophy, or a core ideology, which consists of core values and a core purpose, reason for being beyond just making money. These resemble the principles in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, never perfectly followed, but always present as an inspiring standard and an answer to the question of why it is important that we exist. Enduring great companies don't exist merely to deliver returns to shareholders. Indeed, in a truly great company, profits and cash flow become like blood and water to a healthy body. They are absolutely essential for life, but they are not the very point of life. We wrote in Built to Last about Merck's decision to develop and distribute a drug that cured river blindness. This painful disease afflicted over 1 million people with parasitic worms that swarmed through the eyes to cause blindness. Because those who had the disease, tribal people in remote places like the Amazon, had no money, Merck initiated the creation of an independent distribution system to get the drug to remote villages and gave the drug away free to millions of people around the world. To be clear, Merck is not a charity organization, nor does it view itself as such. Indeed, it has consistently outperformed the market as a highly profitable company, growing to nearly $6 billion in profits and beating the market by over 10 times from 1946 to 2000. Yet despite its remarkable financial performance, Merck does not view its ultimate reason for being as making money. In 1950, George Merck II, son of the founder, set forth his company's philosophy.